Plepullin, reel 7.
Could you tell me again about that episode when you had to worship the kit bag?
Yes.
What happened exactly?
The pipe starboard watch fall in, and of course, when anything is piped, you always have to rush straight up to the quarter deck. Consequence was that I pulled my bag out and just pipe starboard watch falling in front of the side. I run up on deck, left my bag out. When I came back, the ship's corporal said, "Your bag put in?" I said, "Yes, that's mine, corporal." "Answer the bugle tomorrow. That's, you know, like going to court." So the next day when I answered the bugle, commander said, "You got anything to say?" I had to explain to him, you know. He said, "All right, 7 days worship your bag." So now from that time onwards, when the ship's company was having a quiet time, I had to get my bag out and kneel down and say to that bag and my clothes all in it, "I'm sorry I left you out. I'm sorry I left you out." And I had to keep on saying, "I'm sorry I left you out," till it was time to turn to work again, see? And that went on for 7 days now.
What did you think of that?
Well, I thought myself it was a stupid idea, really. But that was a naval discipline. It seems funny today, people listen to a thing like that today would fancy it was barmy, wouldn't it, in those days?
Did discipline vary very much from ship to ship?
No, it didn't. It was pretty strong in every ship I served in. And I must say that Queen Victoria was asked once to do away with corporal punishment and hanging on board, you know. And she said, "Oh no, don't you do that. The Navy must be kept down." And you know when the South African War was on.
Yeah, as far as discipline is concerned, were there some ships you served on where discipline was much stricter than others?
Yes, one. A ship called the Drake. We had a captain called Di Bartolome. And he was a man that used to sometimes get up in the middle of the night, sit on the edge of one of the stores and tell the bugler to sound off action stations. Prepare for war, like. And then we found another time when the watch had mustered at night, you know, perhaps the middle watch. One of the men was missing. Well, the other watch couldn't be relieved until that man was found. And when they found him, they used to, both watches, get either side the deck, get their silks and roll them up, and that man had to run between the crowd and get knocked out with the silks. One fellow put a bar of soap in his, sir, and you can bet when he hit one of these lads, it was adrift, knocked him out proper, like, see? That's one case of discipline I've found in one ship, like, see?
Was there anything else about discipline aboard the Drake which made it worse than the other ships?
No, exactly. Our mess was 43 mess, and we was the cleanest mess in the ship. When Captain Di Bartolome joined the ship as a captain, he came down on our mess. We had a silver cup presented by the other captain, and the men used to have three water instead of four water rum, see? And he had it up there, and my dilly box had no key to it, you know. So I had to take that to the carpenter and get a new lock fitted. And our cap boxes had a peg used to go in the clip. I had to take that to the carpenter and get that fitted. And then he said, "This is the cleanest mess in the ship." "Oh, yes, sir." So he says to the caterer, that's the leading seaman, "Turn your table over. And you know where we've been scrubbing at the top, the dirty water we get underneath, see?" And some men had pieces of meat stuck on a fork under there, ready for another meal when they came down, see? And with that captain, he bought an only colour of the silver cup, flung it straight out the port, and we had 7 days scrubbing that mess. Of course, all the other messes were making fun of it, actually. That was another thing, see?
Was the Drake a happy ship?
Well, in some ways, yes. In others, no. We had a party there, was playing Pirates of Penzance. Some sailors be dressed as girls, you know, see? And I remember one lieutenant, his father was the general that was at Ladysmith.
Yes.
And he said, he got up singing one of our Lauder's songs. I come from the land of the thistle. If you sat on one, you'd whistle, you know what I'm saying? And he danced around the screen. And I had a barrel of soap there, in a piece of brown paper, and I flung it at him, you know, not to hit him, but like a present they used to give to the actresses in those days, see? But it hit him in the face. And a couple of weeks after, he said, I didn't know that was you flung that barrel of soap. Otherwise, he said, I would have, you know.
You said the Drake wasn't a happy ship in some ways.
That's right.
In what ways?
Well, as regards to discipline.
Hmm.
With this Captain de Bartolome. Because when he joined the ship, he cleared lower deck. And he said, every man, and we were all in canvas suits, all over the side, chipping the rust off the ship, getting her ready for sea. And it was close on Easter time. We were going to have Easter holiday. Consequence was, he said, every man a double round the dock. And the clergyman said, do I go, sir? Every man, you go with him. And he was behind with his gear on, you know. And all the dock laborers were saying, what's up with the Drake gone daft? We were dancing all around that dock, you know, see? And that was because the Marines didn't fall in quick enough for this Captain de Bartolome. Then another case, we was in Ireland, and I got an Irishman to give me some shamrock. Took it on board, and I had it placed over the gun where, you see, Captain de Bartolome came in and he called all this pot of shamrock. He said, what's this? And I told him, I said, I'm taking it home for my mother. He flung it straight out the port. So that was my shamrock. That was the sort of man he was. And to finish off the cruise, I shall never forget, he got up on the... I won't be on the word now. And I was saying before that, Drake was alongside Farewell Jetty in Portsmouth. And a metropolitan policeman was talking to some woman there, see? And I was aloft with a fellow named Nancy Lee. He just made a leading seaman, so he was my boss. And we were up in about 90 feet up in the air. And I was putting this grease in the bottle screws, you know, to keep them getting rusty. For the stays that hold the mass up. So I have a... Nancy said to me, I'm going in the fighting top to have a smoke. I said, all right, go on. I'll carry on with the work. And I had this lump of tallow in the tin, like a painter's tin. And I thought to myself, I don't know. So I flung that down on top of this policeman and hit him right on the helmet. You couldn't have done it in 90 times over, I don't suppose. Mm. Now, when we came down from aloft at 12 o'clock, they were piping dinner. The master at arms said, what have you been doing, Pullen? Oh, I said, aloft, doing the bottle screws. Putting the grease in, putting canvas around, keeping them from rusting, see? Jump aft, and Nancy Lee had a jump aft. And there was the policeman wiping the grease off his helmet, see? He looked at me with a nasty look, see? So the Bartolome said, did you do that? I said, no, sir. He said, I believe you did. Therefore, he said, I'm going to punish you. He said, not for the grease, he said, but spoiling the uniform of the policeman. So he said, you have 7 days' cells. So at 4 o'clock, they took me down the cells. And the ship's corporal said, have you ever picked oakum before, Ted? I said, no. So he showed me how to pick the first pound. I had to pick a pound a day, oakum, see?
What was oakum?
Old rope. Unravel all this old rope. Make it, you know, into a ball, you see. They used to clean torpedoes with it. And all manners of jobs, see? However, I managed eventually to be able to do this pound a day, you see. And now I had a bit of time off in my cell. They had the porthole was covered in, but there was holes in it that you could push a cigarette through. And I could look through there and get a good field for the outside life, see. So the chief stoker was filling the boilers up with water from the hydrant to shore. So he placed so many stokers along. And then he'd say, I'm going down to stoke four now. Don't switch on till I say. And I thought, is that right? So I shout out through these portholes, switch on, see? And he'd come running up there and he'd knock these stokers over and say, keep placing them around. And the final was, now I'm going to take that hose off and fill up number two boiler. So I waited a bit longer, and I must have, just as he had the hose off the boiler, I must have shouted out, switch on. And he come running up with his overall suit on, wet through, see? I could see him through the little hose in the portal, see? Well, when that was all over, and we were paying off now.
Before we go off, where were the cells?
Oh, the cells was the port side half. Forward, I mean. Not out, forward.
And at what level? At what level?
Oh, about level the main deck.
And how big were they? Describe yourself for me.
Oh, you had just, you had a pot in there. You had a table for a bed, you know, see. And you had a pillow. I think if it was cold, they'd give you a blanket, but I just laid there, you know, just night time, see? And we used to do half an hour's exercise, walk up and down the forecastle for half an hour. Of course, the ship's corporal watching all the time, see? Like you see in the prison. And then that caused me somehow to lose my good conduct medal.
When you were in the cells, apart from your hour-a-day exercise, what else would you do during the day?
Well, just read the Bible. That's all, nothing else. You wouldn't have nothing else, see.
And pick oakum?
I'd pick your pound of oakum, see. When you've picked that, you had nothing to do, look, see.
So you just lie there?
Just like that, that's just lies were about, see, in the cell.
What food did you get in the cell?
Food? Well, just the ordinary stuff. They bring you in a couple of potatoes and a bit of meat. But going back over the years, in the Caesar, I remember seeing the ship's corporal in the galley straining off. If you see potatoes boiling, there's a sort of a foam comes on the top, isn't it? And he was straining that off and putting it in a basin. And I said, what are you going to do with that, corporal? He said, that's for the prisoners. First three and the last three on that diet.
This business of discipline, as far as the lower deck was concerned, which of the ship's officials influenced discipline most? Was it the captain or the master at arms or
oh,
who?
Oh, it was really it was the captain in my time.
He set the tone.
He was the one. That was Captain Di Bartolome. He was known by a bit of a Captain Bligh in his time, you know. See? He wouldn't think twice, I suppose, of hanging a man at the yardarm for a mutiny. if he could do it in those days, see, which I think he could, because the Articles of War said that if a man committed any offence like a mutiny with violence, he could be hung at the yard arm.
Yeah. Apart from...